My daughter's name is Grace, and I don't think the selection of her name was in any way influenced by James Joyce. But since it's Bloomsday, I'm going to open Dubliners. I've got two editions of Dubliners here. I've got a 3 and 6 penny one published by the Penguin Modern Classics, and I've got another one which is £2.88. Published by Triad Grafton. So I think I'll try the 3 and 6 penny one. And what I'm going to do is to read you the beginning of the short story Grace from Dubliners, which is a collection of short stories written by James Joyce. And I don't remember anything about this short story myself, so I'm going to surprise myself. But I'm just interested for Bloomsday to read a bit of his prose, having read quite a bit of his poetry for fun. So here we go. Here's the short story, Grace. Or some of it. Two gentlemen who were in the lavatory at the time tried to lift him up, but he was quite helpless. He lay curled up at the foot of the stairs down which he had fallen. They succeeded in turning him over. His hat had rolled a few yards away, and his clothes were smeared with the filth and ooze of the floor on which he had lain, face downwards. His eyes were closed, and he breathed with a grunting noise. A thin stream of blood trickled down from the corner of his mouth. These two gentlemen, and one of the curates, carried him up the stairs and laid him down again on the floor of the bar. In 2 minutes he was surrounded by a ring of men. The manager of the bar asked everyone who he was and who was with him. No one knew who he was, but one of the curates said he had served the gentleman with a small rum. "Was he by himself?" asked the manager. "No, sir. There was two gentlemen with him." "And where are they?" No one knew. A voice said, "Give him air, he's fainted." The ring of onlookers distended and closed again, elastically. A dark medal of blood had formed itself near the man's head on the tinselated floor. The manager, alarmed by the grey pallor of the man's face, sent for a policeman. His collar was unfastened and his necktie undone. He opened his eyes for an instant, sighed, and closed them again. One of the gentlemen who had carried him upstairs held a dinged silk hat in his hand. The manager asked repeatedly, did no one know who the injured man was, or where had his friends gone? The door of the bar opened and an immense constable entered. A crowd which had followed him down the laneway collected outside the door, struggling to look in through the glass panels. The manager at once began to narrate what he knew. The constable, a young man with thick, immobile features, listened. He moved his head slowly to right and left, and from the manager to the person on the floor, as if he feared to be the victim of some delusion. Then he threw off his glove and produced a small book from his waist, licked the lead of his pencil, and made ready to indict. He asked, in a suspicious provincial accent, "Who is the man? What's his name and address?" A young man in a cycling suit cleared his way through the ring of bystanders. He knelt down promptly beside the injured man and called for water. The constable knelt down also to help. The young man washed the blood from the injured man's mouth and then called for some brandy. The constable repeated the order in an authoritative voice until a curate came running with the glass. The brandy was forced down the man's throat. In a few seconds he opened his eyes and looked about him. He looked at the circle of faces, and then, understanding, strove to rise to his feet. "You're all right now?" asked the young man in the cycling suit.
"She's nothing," said the injured man, trying to stand up.
He was helped to his feet. The manager said something about a hospital, and some of the bystanders gave advice. The battered silk hat was placed on the man's head. The constable asked, "Where do you live?" The man, without answering, began to twirl the ends of his moustache. He made light of his accident. It was nothing, he said, only a small accident. He spoke very thickly. "Where do you live?" repeated the constable. The man said they were to get a cab for him. While the point was being debated, a tall, agile gentleman of fair complexion, wearing a long yellow ulster, came from the far end of the bar. Seeing the spectacle, he called out, "Hello, Tom, old man. What's the trouble?" "Just nothing," said the man. The newcomer surveyed the deplorable figure before him and then turned to the constable, saying, "It's all right, constable. I'll see him home." The constable touched his helmet and answered, "All right, Mr. Power." "Come on, Tom," said Mr. Power, taking his friend by the arm. "No bones broken. What? Can you walk?" The young man in the cycling suit took the man by the other arm, and the crowd divided. I think I'll stop there. Isn't that wonderfully tight prose? Oh, yeah. I just love it. I have absolutely no idea whether Grace is a young woman's name or whether Grace is a state of grace. And I don't propose to find out on Bloomsday. Although flicking through the end of the rest of the story, I see that there's reference to Pius the Ninth and Pope Leo. Latin poetry. Interesting. German cardinal. John McHale. Oh, this gets more and more interesting. The German cardinal won't submit. And the Jesuit church in Gardiner Street is also referred to. Quite a long, short poem. There's reference to Jesus Christ. And towards the end, the paragraph runs as follows. Jesus Christ was not a hard taskmaster. He understood our little failings, understood the weakness of our poor, fallen nature, understood the temptations of this life. We might have had, we all had from time to time, our temptations. We might have, we all had our failings, but one thing only, he said, he would ask of his heroes, of his hearers, and that was to be straight and manly with God. If their accounts tallied in every point, to say, "Well, I have verified my accounts, I find all well." But if, as might happen, there were some discrepancies, to admit the truth, to be frank and say like a man, "Well, I have looked into my accounts. I find this wrong and this wrong. But, with God's grace, I will rectify this and this. I will set right my accounts." My goodness, with all the fuss about that politician from Wexford, whose name escapes me, that's rather a nice ending.